Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we start into our message today, I want to just give you a brief update what's happening over here in Kenya. Coming from Kenya today, we've been having lots of rain. We're in the rainy season, the short rain season, and our crops out at the farm are looking very good. The maize, beans, we have a lot of groundnuts planted this time, peanuts you would call them, and also lots of vegetables, so we're very thankful for the rain. And we also have a couple of projects going. We're trying to get another piece of land purchased so we can start a school within a year, hopefully. And then also we're praying about going to Tanzania. We've been talking with pastors over there. We just need a big boost of provision, a big financial boost, so we can get that crusade planned and get it going, get the date set. And so we invite you to participate in that way if you would like to help Gather the Outcast, spread the gospel here in Africa. So today we're going to be talking about persecution. And so this is a big subject, as we can see the pendulum start to swing in the USA against Christians. And I never ever thought I would see, when I was growing up, I never ever thought I would see the kind of things that are happening in America today. I'm in a bit of shock, as I'm sure many of you are also in shock. And I remember when people used to tell me, oh, there'll be a day when Christians will be severely persecuted in America. They might even try to confiscate Bibles or put Christians in some kind of internment camps. And laws will be passed outlawing open expression of the faith and all these things. I just thought it was crazy when people told me that. That was 20, 30 years ago. And I just thought it was a bunch of craziness. And now we're seeing that these things can possibly come to pass, that it could actually happen here in the United States of America. And so we need to be vigilant. We need to be on guard. And we need to be proactive in passing laws, proactive in keeping people accountable, voting for the people that believe in Christian values and the Christian faith. And so if we do that, we can keep the devil at bay. We can hold this nation up high and still claim that in God we trust, as it is written on the money. We can still claim in God we trust, and God will bless us. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the Bible also says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so when we stand on the Word of God, when you stand on the doctrine of the Christian faith, God will fight our battles for us. He will be there for us, and so we can move forward in victory. But there will be persecution, and Jesus promised us that, and so we can look for that and expect it and not be shocked when it comes your way. Well, in Matthew 5:10, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had a couple of verses here that he spoke about persecution. 5:10, he said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so when you are persecuted and you're doing the right thing, righteousness just simply means that you are doing the right thing for the kingdom. And so when you are doing that and you experience persecution, whether it's from the government or it may even be from your fellow Christians who don't want to see you succeed, who don't want to see you be raised up. Sometimes persecution comes even from within the church. And so don't be shocked about that. There's some people that get jealous. There's some people that have doctrinal issues. And so they persecute people who disagree with them doctrinally. And so don't be shocked if it comes from the church. But I'm speaking more today probably about persecution that comes from governmental agencies or people who are on the opposite side of government policy, who don't want to see the kingdom of God move forward, and they don't want to see policy that exalts the kingdom of God, policy that exalts individual freedoms, individual expression of Christian faith, Christian doctrine. They don't want to see those policies move forward, and they don't want to see the common sense rule of law move forward. They love chaos, they love anarchy, they love rebellion, and they love to steal, kill, and destroy. And so there are people in America that do that. There are people in America that espouse that doctrine or espouse that point of view. And so don't be shocked when things come down out of the governmental sphere that persecute and attempt to destroy the Christian faith. Well, Jesus said again in Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so Jesus said, they're going to speak against you falsely because of my sake. People are in general pretty okay with talking about God. Every religion around the world talks about God. Every religion talks about worshiping God and giving homage or paying homage or respect and honor to God. But when you start talking about Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his payment, his blood payment, his atoning sacrifice for sin, when you start talking about that, then you lose your audience. People don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear that he was the Son of God. They don't want to hear that he went to the cross and shed his perfect, precious blood for your sin and my sin. They don't want to hear that. And so Jesus is the dividing line, you might say. He is the lightning rod for people who generally consider themselves spiritual and generally like to talk about quote unquote religious issues or religious subjects. But when you bring up Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and that he was the Son of God, then you move into territory where people start to reject you, people start to persecute you, and you will also be separated from people in your own family, from people who are very dear and near to you, maybe people who even you might be married to, and there will be a separation. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I came to bring a sword, and you will be separated from your mother, your father, your children, your mother-in-law, your daughter-in-law, and it is the sword of the Lord that does the separation. And so Jesus said, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you. And then he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Well, that's not all that easy to do. Sometimes we get very offended when people persecute us, when people speak against us, and they revile us and they ridicule us and even scheme to try to take us down and destroy us. It's not all that easy to be exceedingly glad. That's probably the last thing on your mind when people are persecuting you and you're suffering. To be exceedingly glad is very difficult, but Jesus said, for great is your reward in heaven. Beloved, your reward on this earth may never come. Your reward here on this earth may be tarrying, it may be delayed, it may be many years down the road if it comes at all. And so you have to accept the fact that your reward may not come to you until you're in heaven. And when you get there, you're going to be rejoicing with the angels, you're going to be rejoicing with Jesus Christ and the Father, and you're going to be rejoicing with all the saints who went before you, the cloud of witnesses. And so you will be rejoicing when you get to heaven. So just keep your heavenly reward in mind. Keep your heavenly reward in mind so that you can go ahead and do your work here. And if somebody speaks against you, if somebody ridicules you or reviles you or schemes against you to destroy you, you can just let it go off your back. You can just let it go and not let it take you down. And you know that your reward is in heaven, and also that you're being persecuted just like the prophets who went before you. And that's the point Jesus is making here, is that there are many others who went before you who were persecuted also, and we'll be talking about that more here in just a minute. There are many others who have gone before you who were persecuted also, and we don't know all their stories. We don't know all their testimonies. I think of a book I read by a man named Richard Wurmbrand, who founded the ministry called Voice of the Martyrs. Some of you probably heard of that ministry, Voice of the Martyrs. And Richard was a pastor in Romania when the Russians took over, when the communist government took over, and they purged the church, they purged the pastors, and Richard spent 14 years in prison simply because he would not renounce the name of Jesus Christ, simply because he wanted to continue to be a pastor, go to his church on Sunday, preach the word, and he spent 14 years separated from his family, separated from his friends, being persecuted not only for his faith, but also tortured in prison. And so he suffered unspeakable harm, unspeakable things that came against him because of the gospel's sake. So we're going to turn over to John chapter 15, and this is all red letter words of Jesus here. John 14, 15, 16 are some of the most powerful words in the New Testament that is given to us by Jesus Christ our Lord. John 15, verse 18 says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And that's what I was talking about there just a minute ago. Jesus said, you're going to be hated because it hated me. And now you understand that the world will hate you also. Verse 19, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." And when Jesus is talking about the world here, he's talking about the systems of the world. The systems of the world are governed by the devil. Jesus said, "The devil is the ruler of this world, but through me you can overcome the world." The systems of the world, all of the systems of government, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the prostitution, the cartels, the drug cartels, all of these things, the systems of the world are governed by the devil. And the devil's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're part of that world, you may be making a lot of money. If you're part of that world, you may be making a lot of fame for yourself, a lot of accolades, a lot of praise for yourself. And people that are working with the devil oftentimes are very wealthy. The drug barons, the cartels. Here in Kenya, we have cartels that run just about every facet of government. And it's very, very difficult to break through to actually work with the government or get services from the government without going through the cartels. And of course, that means bribes, that means kickbacks, that means extortion, blackmail, all those things. And that's just typical of the daily life here in Kenya and really many, many places in Africa. But Jesus said, if you were of the world will love you. And that's true. You can always find lots of friends at the local bar. You can always find lots of friends doing the things of the devil in the world. But when you come to the Christian faith, beloved, you better cling to the friends that God gives you in the fellowship, because that's probably most all of the friends that you will have. And so the fellowship has to be a family. The fellowship has to be people that really truly love each other and want to help each other, and people who will stand with each other, pray with each other, encourage each other. And that is the family of the children of God. And so Jesus said, but because you're not of the world and I chose you out of the world is going to hate you. And then in verse 20 of John 15, no servant is better than the master. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. In other words, if they hold tight to my word and you are speaking the word of God, then they will keep you also. And so verse 21, Jesus goes on to say, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. In other words, when you get on the team with Jesus Christ and you declare his name, then you now have a target on your back. This is specifically for baby believers, for baby Christians. You will have a target on your back, and the devil will come against you. He will persecute you, and he will try to destroy you to get you to speak against the kingdom, to get you out of your destiny, out of your kingdom walk. And so this is for new believers especially, because many people come in to the Christian faith and they think everything is going to be peaches and cream. They think everything is just going to be an easy walk. And sometimes preachers mistakenly give that impression that everything is just going to be easy. Once you accept Jesus, you're not going to have any temptation. You're not going to have any trials. And your Christian walk will solve all your problems in your life. Not exactly the way it works. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit to counsel you. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and encourage you. He is your advocate. He is your strengthener, your encourager. But also, because of the persecution that you will face, your life is not going to be a cakewalk. Your life will not necessarily be easy, because many times the devil will set traps for you and try to destroy you simply because you're working for the kingdom of God. And so Jesus said there in verse 21 again, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. They do not know God. And again, many people claim to know God. They want to be spiritual, quote unquote spiritual. They want to be religious, but they don't really know God. And Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin or no knowledge of their own sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. I came to save people from their sin. And a lot of times people don't want to acknowledge their sin. They don't want to acknowledge that they're a sinner, because if they do, then they need to seek a savior. Then they need to come to the realization, if they have a knowledge of their sin and a confession of their sin, they need to come to the realization that they need a savior, that there has to be a payment for their sin and an atoning sacrifice for their sin. And Jesus said, well, they don't know me because they don't know the one who sent me. And Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And he said, I don't do anything other than what my Father tells me to do. I don't speak other than what my Father tells me to speak. And so Jesus, when he was walking on this earth, he was the Son of Man. He was not considering it to be equal to being God. He did not consider it equality to be considered of God, as God. And so he operated as the Son of Man. And so he was obedient to his Father. He was obedient in every way to his Father. And so when the Father told Jesus to speak, he spoke. He spoke what the Father wanted him to speak. And he was obedient even to the point of death on the cross. The Bible says he was obedient in every way, even to the point of death on the cross. And so then in John 15, 23, Jesus goes on to say, he who hates me hates the Father also. And so if you have somebody tell you that they can love God, but they don't believe Jesus Christ is God's Son, and they don't believe the words of Jesus were the words that God, Father God, gave him, Jesus said, that isn't possible. He who hates me hates the Father also. And so from all of this, we also get the idea of the Trinity. And some people say that you just have Jehovah God, you don't have the righteous Son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and so they destroy the Trinity with those words. Other people flip it and say Jesus is the only one, that he did not have Jehovah Father, the God, he did not have the Holy Spirit with him. Jesus is everything, everything of Jehovah God and the Holy Spirit are all wrapped up in Jesus, which is also a destruction of the Trinity. And we know from studying the Bible through hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Bible that we have Father God, we have the Son, Jesus Christ, and we have the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, three persons in the Trinity. They are all God, but they are in three persons. As they operate together, they are in perfect agreement. As they operate together, there is no dissension or disagreement between any of them. But we have the Trinity, and many religions, quote unquote religions, destroy the Trinity with their doctrines. They only pick one or another of the Trinity, and so in that way they destroy what God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are attempting to do in our life. Well, verse 25 in John 15, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And so you'll find that sometimes people just hate Jesus. The name of that just aggravates them. And that is the manifestation of the devil, when the name of Jesus aggravates them. If you get into deliverance ever, a deliverance session with people that are demonically oppressed or demonically suppressed or even possessed, you'll find that the name of Jesus just aggravates the demons. The name of Jesus aggravates the devil. The blood of Jesus, speak the blood of Jesus over those people. They get very agitated, aggravated, and they want to flee. And first they'll cause a lot of havoc and a lot of commotion, but eventually they will want to flee. And so Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. And so that is the typical response of the devil when Jesus is around, or when somebody is speaking the words of God and they're around. The devil starts to manifest, and he will act up, and he will display an agitation and an aggravation at just the name of Jesus. Well, I'm going to close here. Last week we talked about the parable of the sower. And if you remember, if you were with us last week, you remember the stony ground was that ground where a person receives the word with joy, and immediately they receive it, and yet they have no deep root within themselves. The Bible says they have no deep root within themselves. And so when tribulation and persecution come, they run away from the word of God. They abandon the word. They abandon their church attendance. They abandon Bible study and prayer. And so that persecution and that tribulation then causes them to not produce any fruit. The root dries up and they get scorched and they do not produce any fruit. And so in Mark 10:30, the scripture I'm going to leave you with here, Jesus is talking about leaving your farm, leaving your home, leaving your family, and going to work for the kingdom. And he said, you'll receive that hundredfold blessing when you give up those things that are very dear and near to you. And when you give them up for the gospel's sake and for the kingdom's sake, Jesus said, I will then bless you with that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing. The very same thing that was talked about in the parable of the sower. The good fruit produces 100-fold blessing. That good fruit produces fruit that is going to be a blessing to the kingdom and a blessing to you. And so Mark 10:30 says that you're going to receive that 100-fold. Now in this age, spouses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So, beloved, you're going to receive persecutions. Get ready for it. If you're not receiving it already, you're not doing enough for the kingdom. And don't duck your head and try to hide. Get out there and do what God has called you to do. Get out there and walk in your destiny and get started building for the kingdom. And persecutions will come, but the Lord will be with you, and the angels will raise you up and strengthen you as you endeavor to build for the kingdom of God. Well, I hope you make a decision this day to accept Jesus as your Lord. Let me know if you do. PurePrairie@hotmail.com. Let me know. We can get you some literature started on your Christian walk. And we'd love to hear from you if you would like to support this ministry, not only for the radio broadcast, but all the projects we have going in Africa. Pray about your part. Sit down, write us out a letter, let us know you're listening, include a check of support. We need your support and your provision to keep doing what God has called us to do. And so we look forward to hearing from you today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.